The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. I welcome our listeners in Washington, D.C. on WAVA 105.1. What a privilege and an honor to be filling in for Don Crow today. Don is an old friend, a dear friend, and you folks who live in Washington, D.C. and listen to him on a daily basis, you are indeed honored and privileged to have the Don Crow Show. But I am also privileged to host my own program in Columbus, Ohio, Bob Burney Live, and we are simulcasting today, as we did yesterday, on WRFD 880 AM and 104.5 FM in Columbus and WAVA 105.1 FM in our nation's capital. And if you would like to know more about this voice that you're hearing, my Facebook page is Bob Burney, B-U-R-N-E-Y, live. You have to add the live on the end. You have to add the live. Bob Burney, B-U-R-N-E-Y, live. Just go to Facebook, do the little search. Our page will pop up and hit like. And every day you will have the news items that we post on a daily basis. If you're into the Twitter thing, and many of you are, my handle is at Bob Burney Live. At Bob Burney Live. Well, believe it or not, there is news other than the coronavirus. Yesterday, there was a presidential primary. Well, not just a presidential primary. There were primaries in Florida, Illinois, and Arizona. We were supposed to have our primary yesterday here in Ohio, and I don't know whether you heard it made national news. It was chaotic. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday, our governor said, we're not going to vote tomorrow. Say what? Excuse me? Tomorrow? Less than 24 hours? No, we're not going to vote tomorrow. And he honestly believed that it was a health situation, a health emergency. And so he postponed it, and people says, well, you can't do that. That's a legislative thing. You can't do it. And so he asked his director of the health department to declare a health emergency. So it wasn't the governor. It wasn't the legislature. It was one individual who is appointed by the governor to be the head of the health department. And she unilaterally canceled our election. And I'm not going to get into Ohio politics. I'm not going to do that. But then the governor and the secretary of state knew that there would be a challenge. So they filed a lawsuit kind of against themselves. It's a long, drawn thing. And then Tuesday night. Yeah, that was. No, that was Monday night, because we were supposed to have the election yesterday. Pardon me. It was Monday that the governor canceled and the Department of Health canceled. And so I'm sorry. I think I said yesterday. So Monday night, this goes before a judge. And about, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night on Monday night, the judge says, you can't do that. Of course we're going to have an election tomorrow. So the poor poll workers, we're not going to have an election. We're going to have an election. We're not going to have an election. We're going to have an election. So the judge said, No, the governor can't do that. So, yeah, have the election. So then about 10 o'clock Monday night, the Department of Health, the director of the Department of Health, which, again, is not an elected position, an appointed position, says, no, I'm declaring a health emergency and we're not going to have the election. And it went to another. It was a mess. At 11 o'clock on Monday night, I'm watching the evening news. Are we going to vote tomorrow or not? And some of the reporters are going, yeah, no, we're not gonna have the election. Other reporters are going, saying, well, I think they are. I think some poll workers have said they're supposed to be there. And then some of them, well, no, the poll workers. It was a mess. It really was. So bottom line, we here in Ohio did not have our primary. And, of course, that ticked off Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals. And now the Ohio Democratic Party has filed a lawsuit against the governor, the secretary of state, and anybody else in the state of Ohio who is breathing and doesn't have the virus. So who knows? But anyway, Florida, Illinois, and Arizona all had their primaries yesterday, and Joe Biden crushed Bernie Sanders. It wasn't even close. Had the primary election been held here in Ohio yesterday, most people think that the same thing would have happened. So it looks like I'm sorry. This is funny. It's entertaining. The Democratic Party, who loves to advertise themselves as the party of the young, the party of diversity, the party who cares about minorities, the party who abandons the old white people. The Democratic Party that advertises themselves as the party of the young, the party of the diverse, the party of the minorities. It looks like their presidential candidate is going to be a 77-year-old white dude. Oh, my goodness. If you put that in a movie, who would believe it? I mean, seriously, who would believe it? But of course, if Sanders got the nomination, they would have a 78-year-old white dude. And of course, this is the party who screams and yells and shouts about millionaires. Yeah, Biden's a millionaire. Bernie Sanders is even richer. The self-proclaimed Democratic socialist. So unless something absolutely incredibly dramatic happens, Joe Biden is going to be the Democratic candidate. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me when Mitt Romney was the nominee for the Republican Party. And for that matter, John McCain. I remember Republicans in both of those elections, with John McCain and Mitt Romney, I remember Republicans all over America going, are you kidding me? That's the best we've got? Are you serious? We're actually going to nominate Mitt Romney? We are actually going to nominate John McCain when we all know he doesn't have a chance of getting it? Remember that? Those of you that are Republicans, remember that? All of the hand-wringing and going, what? That's what's happening with the Democrats today. Democrats all over America are going, are you serious? We're actually going to nominate a 77-year-old white dude who is carrying so much political baggage? It would take a U-Haul truck to carry the baggage politically that he's carrying? So Like I said, unless something dramatic happens. Now, he has said he will choose a woman to be his vice president. He didn't say he would pick the best person. He just said it would be a woman. Watch out. Michelle Obama might be coming.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
You know, only time will tell how the modern music stands up. We honestly don't know. And again, only time will tell. But it's fascinating as I've navigated through Facebook the last couple of days, how many people have been posting the old hymns and gospel songs of the faith. Young people, you know, young people, hip, cool, are posting the old standbys, you know? I think some of the new stuff will be around 50 years from now. Some. To be really honest, I don't think much. A few. But think about the hymns and gospel songs that have survived 50 years, 100 years, 200 years. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, 500 years. Or this, written in the mid-1800s. Maybe you've heard this song. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. And then there's this verse that probably have never heard. I've heard it, but I had forgotten all about it. But this is another verse. For me, be it Christ hence to live, if dark hours about me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. Of course, that is the great song written by Horatio Spafford, in the mid-1800s, and then put to music by Philip Bliss. And most of you know the story, but for those who may not, Horatio Spafford sent his wife and daughters across the ocean. I may get this wrong. He was in England, he sent them back to America, or he was an American, he sent them to England, but one way or the other, he could not leave. I think he was in England on a business trip, and he was planning on leaving with his wife and daughters, but something came up, and he put them on a ship and sent them home. And about halfway across the ocean, a huge storm came up. And the ship sank. And his wife was saved alone. That was the telegraph message that Horatio Spafford got from his wife. Saved alone. His children perished in the sea. Horatio Spafford got on the first ship that was available. And he asked the captain of the ship to please tell him when they got to the approximate place where his daughters perished in the ocean. And the story goes, and I believe it is true, that as the ship went across that place in the vast ocean where Horatio Spafford's children died, he went out on the deck of the ship, looked out into the ocean, and wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." That is the kind of assurance that is available to the child of God. In the midst of the storms, in the midst of trials, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of death, in the midst of loss, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of fear and panic and hysteria. This is the kind of peace that is available to us. But here's something that we need to remember. It comes down to a choice that we make. We can either choose to be controlled by the circumstances around us, or we can choose to believe and trust the promises of God. Now, my friend, that is not an easy choice to make. It is not. It is not just, I choose peace. That's why in Hebrews chapter 4, speaking of the promised land, the land of rest, the writer of Hebrews said, "Let us labor, therefore, that we may enter into his rest." You ever think about that? Hebrews 4. "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest." Sometimes it is hard work to rest from our fears and our anxieties. But it is an exchange that we can make. And as Horatio Spafford, he chose to believe, "It is well with my soul."